This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. You're filling out an online form and check a box for your age, income, family size, and then are asked to identify your ethnicity, Asian, Black, Caucasian, Hispanic, or other. When filling out online surveys or credit card applications, being asked to disclose race can feel unnecessary or, worse, offensive. Would you feel the same way about divulging your race if it meant the expensive clothes you were ordering would fit better? The online retailer Proper Cloth calculates the precise size for custom-tailored men's shirts and suits, in part by asking about height, weight, and ethnicity. Moises Velasquez-Manoff is an author and science writer who looked into the implications of that question and the real and imagined connections between biology and ethnicity. His article, Can a Dress Shirt Be Racist?, appeared on Back Channel. And Moises, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So tell me a little bit about this company first, Proper Cloth. Who's behind it?
Well, it's a smallish startup, and it was founded by a fellow named Seth Skerritt. And their premise is basically to ship to your house a tailor-fitted dress shirt without you having to go through all the bother of going to the store or even getting measured by a tailor. And so they've developed this algorithm they call Smart Sizes. And it asks about things you probably would predict, like, as you mentioned, like height and weight. And it also actually asks about the measurements of your shirt, like your sleeve length, if you happen to know it. But then it asks a few things that you probably wouldn't predict, and this is sort of their, what they claim is their innovation, like belly size, for example. This is the sort of, because belly size does not always correlate with your waist size, which you probably know, but your belly size you might not know. So they ask you sort of to gauge, do you have a big belly, a small belly, that sort of thing. And then they ask you about ethnicity. So when I first was sort of fooling around with their algorithm, that question sort of stopped me cold because, well, honestly, because I remembered from my Anthro 101 class, or maybe it was one class back in college, that there's actually a certain amount of controversy about whether or not we have a certain body shape that's according to our ancestry, that's linked to our ancestry. Clearly, anthropologists used to think that those were very easily made assumptions or easily made measurements, but modern anthropologists, for a whole host of reasons, they're much less likely to say these things are true.
So I'm curious, how did they come up with this idea of ethnicity? Was this, you know, a focus group that said people want to buy clothing that's more ethnically tailored? How did they come up with this?
Well, in the beginning, they were basically testing out their algorithm, their list of questions. And they made 30 shirts for 30 guys in the Dog Patch Labs in New York City where they were housed. And they observed that, among the many other things that did not work in those early days, that the shirts seemed to not fit certain ethnicities. That is, they fit them worse, certain ethnicities. And actually, when I spoke with Seth Skerritt, he didn't remember what the ethnicities were. So I just have to use an example. Like the Asian guys, for example, the shirts seemed to fit terribly on them, and they needed to have the same alterations done. So what the company does, basically, is they'll alter the shirt for you. You go through one round, and you can send it back and say, oh, I need this such adjusted, and they'll alter it for you. Of course, they want to minimize those alterations because they're costly. They want to get it right the first time.
So what are the alleged differences that they're saying between ethnicities?
It's like subtle differences in what anthropologists would call limb-to-trunk ratio, and that is the sort of the length of your limbs compared to your trunk. So, like, your arms are a little bit longer compared to your trunk in one ethnicity versus another. And so that, of course, it impacts pretty tremendously how well your fitted shirt fits. So they added this ethnicity question. I mean, I should say the first thing they did was look up to see if anyone else had looked into this question and found any differences that were predictable according to ethnicity. And, of course, the Army has. The Army has this anthropometry survey where they measure incoming recruits. And there are these differences according to those data that the Army has. That sample of people is not representative of Americans at large necessarily, because those are Army recruits. So it's a self-selected group.
Right.
But what Proper Cloth says they've done is they basically continued to evolve their their algorithm based on their own data. Based on now they have a database of 20,000 people, and so their algorithm is learning based on those people.
Well, okay, so as you pointed out, there is a history. You said early anthropologists had this idea that there was a biological element to race, and we're using race, ethnicity kind of interchangeably for this story. Tell us a little bit about the history of that. I mean, is there much in the way of scientific evidence that the metric is doing what Skerritt claims it does, that clothes will fit better if ethnicity is a factor in literally sizing someone up?
Well, so it's interesting. First of all, we can't verify that proper cloth clothes shirts actually do fit better with that question, because they're not conducting a scientific trial where you sort of make everything transparent so people can replicate it. They just say it's true. We have to take them at their word or not. We can go talk to anthropologists. And basically what anthropologists say, first of all, let me back up. Clearly, our eyes tell us that there are pretty dramatic differences between what we call races and skin color and hair texture and all sorts of things. Clearly, there's tremendous variation in the human family. But the question that anthropologists raise is, are the old race labels the best way to describe that variation? And pretty much every anthropologist I queried about this said absolutely not. It's not because necessarily it's not a nice thing to do, even though that's part of the answer, that it's a little bit dangerous to sort of perpetuate these labels. But it's also because literally the facts of human variation don't fit those race labels. There are no sort of clean breaks in the way we perhaps think that there are. And I use the example in the piece of sort of walking across the Eurasian continent at a northern latitude, let's say, from Europe to Japan. There's no line necessarily where people suddenly start looking different. Mm-hmm. There'll be this sort of gradual change in how people look. So if you were to look at that and say, okay, where do we say that Europeans begin and Asians begin? Well, that doesn't exist. It's an arbitrary line.
Well, okay, so for you, I mean, okay, those are assigned judgments, right? And this idea that we have that race is a social construct, you know, it's based
That's
on
right.
power, it's based on history giving preference to one over the other. So what do you think of this question? You know, if you were taking that walk along the northerly latitude, you wouldn't notice differences, you know, distinct differences from place to place, but variations. So what's going on here? What did you find in your examination of this question about ethnicity and shirt size?
Well, it's sort of a paradox, actually, because the academics say we shouldn't use these labels. We should get away from using them. And we should talk about what we're really talking about, which is, you know, take your actual measurements. That's the best way to determine whether your shirt is going to fit well or not. And, of course, proper cloth is taking your actual measurements. They're just sort of claiming that there's something extra that they get out of asking about ethnicity. But on the other hand, you know, in the United States and in many Western countries, we're sort of very cosmopolitan. It's just a mixture of all sorts of different kinds of people. And there's like this yearning to just forget about all the old baggage and just acknowledge that we have different bodies according to where we come from. And marketers are beginning to market to this, aside from proper cloth, which they're doing it in a sort of at least it seems scientific kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are these other efforts like there are these Asian fit glasses that are supposedly designed to fit on more Asian faces. And I've talked to a number of people that have no problem with that idea. The anthropologist would say, well, look, instead of calling them Asian fit, describe the features you're trying to fit to. But marketers are looking for easy ways, shorthand.
So you have Asian fit glasses, and that's not bothersome to people that you talk to. But, you know, what's the next thing? You know, the sort of Jewish fit glasses or something for Hispanics who have a large growing population with obesity. So
right. What's funny you should mention that, because actually there were a few years ago some jeans company tried to have a Latina fit jeans. They got in a whole lot of trouble as they tried to explain to reporters, well, what we're after is we're trying to design for the more voluptuous Latina body. And
uh-huh.
He was probably white, but basically this male CEO explaining this, like, that they'd measured Latinas' bodies, and it just came off completely horribly for the company. Even earlier, I saw an example of a JCPenney having like a section for African Americans, which also caused a lot of controversy, but I don't know if they were designing for any kind of body proportions in that case.
Well, how do we know that the proper cloth is not basing size based on kind of cultural differences rather than racial ones, meaning that, you know, different demographics may prefer clothes that fit in different ways, right? I mean, that's true,
that's
at least
true.
In
yeah.
a broad sense.
Absolutely, and we don't know that, and they don't know that either, which is what's interesting. They're not really sure if when they ask that question, the information they're capturing is really about physical body proportions, or maybe it's about cultural preferences or subcultural preferences for how you have your shirt fit. So you're absolutely right. It could be that. And they don't care. What they care is that their shirt fits the way the customer wants it to fit.
So race, of course, is a broad generalization, as you said. You know, there's a lot of variation. And it seems like we have this kind of dualistic relationship to all kinds of generalizations. You know, sometimes they're useful to us, sometimes they're dangerous. I'm wondering, after looking at this, you know, from an anthropological, from an historical, from even a social and fashion point of view, what did you come away thinking, Moises?
That it's very, very complicated. But I also, that we live in this 21st century sort of tech-oriented world where we're told over and over that big data is the answer to everything. All you need is to have a big enough data set, and then you can parse it, and you'll see patterns, essentially. And that's, proper cloth is doing a version of that, sort of. But the labels that we use to organize our data have history, and they have historical baggage. And I feel like sometimes people ignore the baggage possibly to their peril, because you can't just pretend it doesn't exist. You know, you can't pretend history doesn't exist. It's not wise.
Well, Moises, thank you very much for speaking with us about this really thought-provoking article.
Thanks for having me.
Moises Velasquez-Manoff, he's author and science writer, and you'll find a link to read his article, Can a Dress Shirt Be Racist?, which he wrote for Back Channel. The link is at wordofmouthradio.org.